708 74 75 07.
1 2 3 with Mike Jones.
Now then, who's heard of Mel Torme? Of course you have, one of the biggest stars ever. Some put him in the same category as Sinatra, Martin, all those sort of guys. A prolific writer, a prolific reporter, a singer. He passed away, I think, in about 1999. But he, I think he had seven children. One son, Steve, did some singing. The second son, James, really did some singing. And boy, is he good. I went to see him at Leon C the other night, performing with John Altman. Let me just quickly say about John Altman. John Altman will be a guest on this program in the very near future. This guy is just incredible. Let me just tell you some of the stuff he's done. He wrote the music for Titanic. He wrote Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. He is the most prolific commercial music arranger ever. He's got Grammy Awards for all sorts of things. The list goes, Google him. That's the best way you can describe it. And on top of all that, he's a brilliant, brilliant saxophonist and a jazz musician. There's this fabulous gig in Leon C the other night in a community hall, and it was just like going back in time to a sort of a speakeasy jazz club. So John was on saxophone, a brilliant drummer, brilliant keyboard player, and a wonderful bass player. And singing was James Torme. I caught up with him after the show and asked him what he was up to. James, welcome to Essex.
Thank you.
Like you really enjoyed that tonight.
I had a great time. What a wonderful reception, you know.
And what a venue as well. Unusual to come to a community centre in Leon C. You're playing Ronnie Scott's.
Like Prince, I like to think of myself as somebody who transforms a place from one thing to another just at the drop of a hat. You know, I mean, you can create a venue just about anywhere. Actually, Prince is kind of proving that, isn't he, right now? He just did a concert in somebody's living room. But anyway... it's just great to be able to... It's almost like the old days where people would sort of come together, make the music for the night. You know what I mean? When everybody could read and just create an evening. And that's what we did tonight. And it's just... What a thrill to have this kind of support, you know, and to see people coming out in this level. You know what I mean? For something fairly impromptu, really. But, yeah, to support jazz, so...
The only thing I ever argued with my father about was music. Did you argue with your father about music, or were you always going to follow in his footsteps?
Well, you know, there's a ton of my father in me, but I know that I'm also a very different singer because, you know, he was influenced by sort of 1929 through 1954, and I was influenced by that same group of influences that, of course, I was steeped in by being raised by him, but then also everything else that's come out since. So a lot more different influences, you know, have sort of, I've osmosized over the years. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of creates a difference between us. But from the, if you peel away the layers, you know, and you go to the shallot, if you will, in the middle there, we're pretty similar. Like, we love the same things. We love the same musical choices, you know what I mean? So there is an enormous amount of, you know, chemistry, similarity. Of course, it's genetic, but yeah. Beyond that, it's also the influence. You know,
and was there plenty of encouragement all the time?
Absolutely, yeah. No, we were exposed to all kinds of great, not only great music, great theater, but also great artists that I've sat on the lap of, George Shearing and Ella Fitzgerald, and people like that. So, you know, Peggy Lee. Just growing up around,
I was gonna say, growing up on the,
I grew up on the knee of Buddy Rich and, you know, people like Andre Previn, who else, Artie Shaw, you know what I mean? So yeah, a lot of very cool cats, and of course a lot of the sort of contemporaries of my father, you know, Vic Damone and Jack Jones, and
of course when
all
he was 5 years
people.
Old, this was what every 5 year old had, of course.
Yeah, right.
Until he got older, well, he went, ah.
Oh, no, absolutely. I never appreciated any of it until way later in my life. Suddenly I realized that these weird aunts and uncles were actually people like Gene Hackman and Betty White and, you know, Ricardo Montalban and Olivia de Havilland. And so it was an interesting way to grow up, and you appreciated it all a lot later, you know, when you kind of come of age and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, I was sitting with Miles Davis and I didn't realize, you know what I mean? So, certainly all of that, you know, sinks in. You know, ultimately, I think those things, you soak those things in, and they end up kind of getting reflected, whether you like it or not. You know what I mean? Those kinds of influences, the style of a lot of my dad's contemporaries who I grew up around, even Cleo Lane and people like that, you know, who my dad worked with extensively, it just sinks in, and then it ends up being reflected when you go out on stage or if you step in front of a microphone in a studio. It kind of just comes out, doesn't it? So it's just one of those things. You allow that to happen. You don't worry about anything. It's fun when people recognize the influences, but... it's my dad is a major, major influence, but then also tons of other people. And
what's on your record player in your car at the moment? What's on your iPad?
Right. Well, all kinds of new music, because I'm putting together my next album right now, the sort of sequel to Love for Sale, mm-hmm. my debut album, which I've been thrilled to say has been been really great. This first album, in terms of the response that it's gotten, So I'm listening to things like Earl Oaken, who's this tremendous mm-hmm. genius of British songwriting, who actually used to tour with Paul McCartney and Wings. He's written a bunch of songs that I really like, and several of them are going to be on my next album. So everything from that all the way to dance music and EDM, I listen to it all. I also produce a lot of different kinds of music, so I'm really all over the place, you know, in terms of what I listen to. I listen to everything. I listen to classical. I love Delius and Debussy. I listen to jazz artists, all kinds of jazz artists, big bands. I'm a guy who's certainly a little unusual because I'll sit around and listen to all kinds of very old recordings. Things my father loved. I mean, I go right through his record and CD collection, which I'm fortunate enough to own.
Right.
I mean, it's a trove. It's a trove of unbelievable artists, you know, from Bix Beiderbecke, you know what I mean, to the Tommy Dorsey band, you know. So all of those things kind of just adds up to a reflection, you know, a reflection mm-hmm. when you come out. All these things that you've sort of, whether you realize it or not, you were sort of sheep-dipped in all this, you know. And
well, there's a whole new resurgence, isn't there, in swing and jazz. You've got young men like yourself. You've got Jamie Cullum.
Sure, absolutely.
A whole host of people doing stuff at the moment and raising the...
Certainly, there is no James Torme if it isn't for Jamie Cullum and Michael Bublé. Those guys have helped to pave the way somebody such as myself, not to mention what my father did to pave a certain amount of the way. But being the son or daughter of a sort of one of the great geniuses is a totally double-edged sword because there's the constant comparison that's always there. And people don't really want you to be equal to the legacy that you come from. It's almost like that would be something wrong with that.
Yeah.
So what I do is I hope that it sinks into where they see me as the exception to that rule. I like to think of myself as more of a... Natalie Cole than a Desi Arnaz Jr., if you will.
Yeah, all right, okay.
And so, you know, and if I didn't feel like I could do something comparable, something that musically was, you know, on a par in the ballpark with what I so many times witnessed my father do everywhere from the Carnegie Hall to Hollywood Bowl more times than anyone else in history, just every summer watching that guy and 5 standing ovations, you know. If I didn't think, you know what I mean, that I could take my own project, my own career into those areas, I probably wouldn't be doing this because it's an awful stretch to, you know, you're already the son or daughter of somebody, so people kind of give you a little look a lot of times when they first, but hopefully the cream kind of rises to the top. You make good enough music, it just kind of, it does get recognized by the true music fans.
Well, you've certainly been appreciated tonight. Just to wrap up, you've sold out Ronnie Scott's, is that in a couple of weeks' time?
Oh, yeah.
And how long are you over
wonderful.
Here for?
Been sold out for over a month. It's the second show I've had in London that's been sold out for like way more than a month before. So I am incredibly grateful and so excited,
good.
You know what I mean, to kind of really be landing here. And
good.
It's nice. Word is out.
Jamie, thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for taking the time to listen.
Anytime, man.
Thank you very much.
Take care.